This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's sermon is titled, Jesus is Our Rest. It was recorded on July 14th, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Fantastic. So Lord, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts in these moments. Let your word go down deep into our hearts, that it might bring forth, Lord, a harvest for your glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. We're in the middle of a series called Jesus Is, and want to talk about Jesus. I just don't think there's anything more important that I could talk to you about this summer than Jesus. And there's a lot of misconceptions about the Lord out there. Sometimes we learn about him through movies and pictures and popular culture, and there's all kinds of different opinions and perspectives, but I think the Word of God certainly helps us understand him the most, and I want to share that with you. First, let me just say a couple of things about Nicaragua, and I've got a bit of a reverb or something up here, guys. This was an incredibly powerful, life-changing trip. It was really something special, and I'm so thankful for your prayers, your support. It was very difficult for me in a lot of ways, and I'm not going to go into that in a lot of detail. This is our team that you can see. This is our full team. The 16 of us that came from the United States, plus Rondus and Sylvia, plus our 6 interpreters, plus our 2 doctors, plus our bus driver. So when you added it all up, it came out to 28, I think, that we had all together. We had a powerful time. Our medical clinic saw over 1,000 patients. We had several people receive the Lord. We had several demonstrable healings that were powerful. We had several recommitments to Christ. It was very, very fruitful. 2 things I want to tell you about just personally that touched me deeply. This young man on this side of the screen, his name is Hector. And I had gone out one day. We were having the medical clinic in a new area. It's very poor. And there's a new church starting, and guess what they've named it? New Song. And this new church that's being built in this very poor area, I'm out there, and we're about to do a presentation, and Scarlett, who used to work at the orphanage, says to me, did you know that one of the orphans is here with us today? And he's a part of GDF, of our youth outreach team. I said, what? You're kidding me. And she pointed him out, and this is Hector, who was one of our original orphans at the orphanage. And most of you know that got shut down by the government. And he went to another orphanage, a government-run orphanage after that. When he aged out, he came back to us because of the love and the care that he had experienced at the orphanage. He moved into the area. He's a part of the church. He's a part of the youth outreach team. And let me just say, he and I had the sweetest time of bonding and reconnecting. And when I went to leave our final service, he calls me up and says, Pastor Jeff, I have something to present to you, and you can kind of see it here, but it is a painting that he himself painted for me. It's beautiful. He's a talented artist. And as he began to just express his love and his care, Pastor Bert, where's Pastor Bert? He was thanking us for the orphan Christmases that we used to celebrate. Some of you would remember that. We would take presents and bless all the orphans. He was thanking us for all the love and care through the years. And he began to weep and cry, and I think he hugged me 4 times with tears in his eyes, just thanking me for the impact that that had had on his life. He's a fine young man, and you'd be blessed to meet him and to see him living for Christ today. And then on the other side is my Nicaraguan son. His name is John, and I'm so proud of him. He's 15 years old now. Tracy and I started sponsoring him through Compassion when he was just a small little guy. We've had the privilege of watching him grow up into a young man now, handsome, strong, godly, respectable, respectful young man. I'm so proud of him. And the last night, we started using Google Translate. It was kind of a nice thing, and we're talking to each other, and he just begins to cry and cry, and it was so hard to even say goodbye. And it was funny. Sylvia was saying to him on the next to last day, you're going to have to talk to your mom tomorrow morning. You're going to have to leave really early, and you're not going to get back till really late. He says, oh, don't worry. Mom will be fine. She knows I'm with my adopted dad, and he'll take good care of me. So Mom will be fine with me having to leave early and get home late. We just had the most precious time, and he made me a promise, and the promise was something really powerful that he and I talked about, and I'm just so proud of him, so thankful that you allowed us to go. Can we give God praise for just a fantastic time? Amen. Our key passage that we're looking at in our Jesus Is series is 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, you'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. Starting to get some echo again here in my mic. I don't know what's going on. In an unfocused and chaotic world, let me just say to you, I think it's absolutely imperative that we keep our focus on Jesus. I think the world we're living in, folks, if we don't keep focused on Jesus, we're going to go down with the ship. You know what I'm saying? This is a world that is out of control in so many ways. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the fact that Jesus is the author of your faith. In other words, he's writing the story. As you seek him, as you surrender to him, he's got the story to write for you. And it's the best story that can possibly ever be. And then it says he's the finisher of your faith. In other words, he'll complete it. He'll see it through if you'll keep trusting him, if you'll keep focused on him. And here's why I think it's important to talk about Jesus in these weeks, because the more I think you get to know about him, the more deeply I believe you're going to fall in love with him. So this morning I want to talk about the fact that Jesus is, and I want to personalize it, not just for me, but for you. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd day in and day out, and lead you and guide you and feed you and help you. John 10, verse 10 and 11 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I want you to notice something here about what the enemy does. He does three things, and that's all he does. He steals, he kills, and he destroys through his lies, his manipulation, his deception. A lot of us here, if we're honest, we fell prey somewhere along the way to his deception, to his lies, and to his plan. And he's stolen from you. He's killed some of your hopes and dreams. He's destroyed some important relationships. He's done what he does, and that's steal, kill, and destroy. We have got to wise up to the fact that if you're not fully living for Jesus, if you haven't completely surrendered to him, if you're not seeking his will, then whether you mean for it to be or not, whether you're consciously making this decision or not, the enemy has got space in your life, opportunity in your life to bring destruction and harm in your life. So I just want to say to you this morning, there's a good shepherd. Jesus goes on to say, I have come, and this is, he's going to make it very clear what he does. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it to the full. Everybody say full. I love it when things are full. You know, I'm just one of those nitpicky kind of people. I, You know, when I go to get my drink at the restaurant, I like to get it all the way full and sometimes even flowing over. How many of you know what I mean? When I go to Starbucks, I want my cappuccino full. I want it almost, you know, just to the brim there. The Lord wants to give you life to the full, not a half cup, not just a portion, but to the full. He wants it to be full. And he goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. Would you say that with me this morning? I am the good shepherd. So this is what Jesus wants to be in your life, is the good shepherd. He's come to give you life. He's come to give you life to the full. There's a number of different descriptions of Jesus in Scripture. And this is actually one of his favorite, one of his very favorite, that he's the good shepherd. And I want you to think about it this morning with me. Because if he's the good shepherd, and then the description goes on that the church is his flock. There's other metaphors, other descriptions that the Bible uses. One is family, and that we're the family of God, and I love that one. We talk about that a lot here. We're not some sterile institution. We're a family. We care for one another. We love one another. We want to get to know you. We want to be a part of your life. God's called you here to be a part of this fellowship. That's another metaphor that's used. If there's fellowship, there's got to be unity in the Spirit. That's something we should always be striving for. The Bible also says we're a body. If we're a body, that means that every one of us has a part, and every part needs to be functioning in that body. But this morning, I want to look at the fact that we're a flock, and Jesus is our good shepherd. In Psalm 100, verse 3, it says this, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture." Now, I want to tell you that the closest English word to pastor is the word shepherd. Is the word shepherd. Shepherd and pastor are almost synonymous. So, in other words, when I say to you that Jesus wants to be your shepherd, he also wants to be your pastor. Now, I want to be your pastor also, and I'm going to show you here in a verse in just a moment how both of those things coexist. But Jesus wants to be your chief shepherd over your soul. In other words, he wants to care for you, love you, walk with you, help you in every situation and circumstance in your life. And I believe all of us need not just the chief shepherd, but also an earthly pastor, somebody that cares for us, that's there to love us and help us. In 1 Peter 5, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care." That would be a word to me as a person who feels the call of God to be a shepherd over a flock, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then look at these words. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Do you notice there's two different shepherds mentioned there? The pastor over a congregation, and then the pastor over that pastor and the congregation, the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. I'm an under shepherd, and Jesus is the chief shepherd. And you need both in your life. And I want you to leave here today with a new sense of just the fact that Jesus wants to be your chief shepherd and wants to help pastor your life, watch over your life, care for your life. And probably the most beautiful description of this concept of Jesus being our shepherd is found in one of my very favorite psalms, and I bet it's one of your favorites too, Psalm 23. And I'm bringing it up on the screen right now, and I've got it in the good old New King James Version. And here's what I'd like for us to do. Let's all look at the screen and let's all read it together. Okay? Are you ready? Here we go. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the personal forever. Can you say amen? He wants to be your shepherd, your personal, loving, caring shepherd. And this morning, I want to just break that down a little bit and give you six qualities of the shepherd of your soul. And the first is simply this: the shepherd loves to provide. The shepherd loves to provide. You'll notice he says that he's my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, let me just be clear, that doesn't mean there's not going to be difficulties. That doesn't mean there won't be difficulties financially. That doesn't mean that you're not going to go through those times that quite honestly stretch your faith. That doesn't mean you won't go through times where you really have to trust God. But let me say it this way. At the end of the day, after you've trusted Him and you've sought Him, you'll be able to say, the Lord was my shepherd and He provided for me. How many of you here this morning, you have that kind of testimony? You've gone through some struggles. You've gone through some challenges. But at the end of the day, when all was said and done, God met you. He took care of you. David says it this way, I've never, never, never seen the righteous forsaken. God knows how to provide. In fact, He loves to provide. He loves to take care of His kids. These past 2 weeks, they were a unique challenge for me. There's a lot of stir and a lot of talk these days about the Enneagram. I find it very useful and insightful and interesting. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. A 3 is the achiever or the performer. One of the things the 3 most fears is being alone. And I think that combined with the fact that I was an only child, I don't necessarily enjoy being alone for a long time. There's times I love being alone with God, but I also like my friends, my family around. My family wasn't able to go to Nicaragua. None of you guys were able to go, and it was a unique challenge for me. And I just got to tell you that the Lord was my shepherd every morning as I found a special place to meet with Him. Every morning I'd get up, I'd grab my little cup that I brought with me, and I'd go to the kitchen, I'd fill it up with some good Nicaraguan coffee, and then I'd make my way across the courtyard on the other side of the hotel to a private area where nobody else was at. And I'd sit there with my every morning, God was sustaining me. God was providing for me. See, sometimes the provision you need isn't necessarily dollars and cents. Sometimes it's peace. Sometimes it's His presence. Sometimes it's just the reassurance that He's with you. Sometimes it's strength in your heart. Sometimes it's joy. One of the first mornings I was there, I'm sitting and right in front of me is a power line. It's a beautiful courtyard with lots of flowers and plants and a very beautiful courtyard. But there was a power line, and I looked up, and it wasn't very far from me. It was right there, and I looked up, and there was a turtle dove sitting on the power line. And I thought, wow, Lord, that's pretty neat. I'm just going to take that as Your presence here with me today. It's really cool. The next morning, I made my way across with my coffee, and I was meeting with Jesus, and I looked up, and there was 2 turtle doves on the line. And I'm going, Lord, that's even cooler. You're right there with me, Lord. And every morning, the thing that sustained me, the thing that encouraged me, the thing that helped me was God's presence in precious and powerful ways. It was like He was inviting me, come spend time with me. Come and just in some solitude and silence, sit in my presence and let me love on you and let me encourage you and strengthen you from the inside. And He just invited me every morning to that special time with Him. He was speaking to me. And it was so powerful and so personal. And I want you to get that this morning. He's your shepherd. There's a personal element to that. He's saying, John, I'm your shepherd. Becky, I'm your shepherd. Beth, I'm your shepherd. I'm there for you. in your time of need, your time of whatever it might be. Let me just say this. I love my kids. And one of the great joys I have in life is providing for and blessing my kids. I got both of my kids a gift in Nicaragua. It wasn't expensive, it wasn't much, but I knew what both of them wanted and pulled all my... Boy, as soon as I got home, it was really late Friday night. As soon as I pulled all my luggage in, first thing, Dad, what'd you get for us? You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got all kinds of luggage because I was bringing some things back for the Harper. So I dig into every suitcase. Finally, I find it, just this little bag. And their eyes just lit up as I gave them just a little token of my love and my care for them. As long as my kids are, you know, honoring me as their father and seeking to live according to the values and the things that are important to us, listen, they're up under my care. And I'm going to take good care of them. I'm going to do my best to make sure they don't go without. I'm going to do my best to even go beyond that and bless them in ways that are personal to them. That say to them, I see you and I love you. And you're important to me. How many of you hear what I'm saying? You're a parent. You have that same heart. You don't just want to get your kids, you know, any kind of old food. You don't just want to get your kids any old clothes. You like to find out what they like particularly. Oh, okay, you like chicken strips. That like works for like 95% of kids, by the way, just in case you need a good tip. No, you know, whatever it is. Oh, I want to make sure we have that for you. Oh, you like this kind of tennis shoe. Okay, well, we're going to make sure you get a pair of those. There's a personal element to God who loves to care for us. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And he's the one who takes care of our needs. Secondly, the shepherd restores. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Have you ever thought about that? First of all, why does he make us lay down? Because sometimes we just won't do it on our own. We get caught up in the cycle of this life, the busyness of this life, and sometimes what we need is just to be silent, just to be quiet, just to rest, where he can really speak to us. Your presence with him. There was a degree of that, certainly, in this trip for me. I'm like, okay, Lord, you've got me where you want me. And, Lord, I'm going to make that time with you. Because that time's invaluable. That time's precious. He'll make you lie down sometimes, even when you don't feel like you need to, because he knows your needs even better than you do. He cares enough to give us what we need, even when we don't realize fully what we need. Sometimes we just want to keep busy because keeping busy is kind of like an antidote to the pain. But instead of putting a Band-Aid on your pain, the Lord would much rather restore you. And to restore means to really heal. It means to bring it back to its original condition. The Lord is a healer. And he knows how to heal the physical pain and the emotional pain of loss and difficulty in this life. And every one of us have experienced that. He's good at restoring. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." He wants to give us peace. It leads me into those green pastures. I don't know about you, but some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. I love mountains and I love the ocean, but sometimes it's just this green field that just goes on for miles, that quite honestly, there's just a beauty to it that you look out and you go, wow, that is so pretty. I remember first time we ever had the privilege of going to Yosemite. There's all kinds of amazing things there. There's the big sequoia trees. There's the fantastic mountains. But then there's this place called Tuolumne Meadows. And there was something so peaceful and serene and beautiful and powerful about this meadow that just went on for miles. And there was a little creek that wound its way through this beautiful meadow. And there were flowers. And the Lord takes us into places that, quite honestly, they just live in and have a restorative power about them. They have an inherent peacefulness to them. There's something about God's presence that just brings peace. It's the place where our soul is fed and our bodies are strengthened and our courage is renewed. It's that place where every day we come and we feed on His Word, and His Word daily strengthens us, daily blesses us, daily guides us. And you know why? Because Jesus is the living Word. He's the Word come alive. He wants to bring it alive to you every day. The Bible says that the Word is like honey on our lips. When was the last time you just sat in a pleasant place and just fed on the Word of God? He wants to lead you into places like that. He wants to meet you in places like that. And some of you, it's especially important because you're just wired that way. There's something about being in nature that absolutely connects you with God. There's just special communion in places like that with Him. God wants you to be back to where you need to be. Number three, the shepherd leads. He leads. By the way, let me just make a couple of other comments. He takes us into those green pastures because that's where the best food is, and beside the still waters, because you know what? It's the still water that's just the sweetest and the easiest to drink and the cleanest and the purest and the, He loves to take care of us. He leads us. He leads us, it says, in paths of righteousness. Or you could put it this way, He leads you in the right paths. Leads you in the right paths. I've watched some people take wrong paths, and wrong paths lead to trouble and to destruction. But there is a path for every one of you here today that has God's name on it. It's Cody's path. It's Betty's path. It's Nate's path. It's the plan God has for you. It's the purpose He has for you. It's a path with your name marked on it, and it's His plan and it's His purpose for you. And if you'll choose that path through surrender and obedience, you'll make a difference in this world. You'll make a difference in this life. You'll be encouraged along the way, and you'll be blessed. I really believe that. I don't mean that you're going to be wealthy or something like that. You'll just be blessed. And blessings come in lots of different packages. But I want to encourage you this morning. Find the path with God's name on it. People who serve, we call them the dream team. And I just got to tell you, we don't need you as much on that dream team as you need to be on that dream team. Let me say that again. You know, things are happening here every Sunday, and I'm so proud of our team because our dream team, they got here early. They turned on the air. They turned on the lights. They swept the carpet. They made the coffee. Can you say amen to that? They brought the donuts, they vacked the carpets, they swept the floor, they washed the doors, they practiced the worship, they took care of your kids, they greeted you, they took up the offering, they served you today in many different ways, and when it's all over, they'll clean it all up and turn it all off and do it again gladly next week. Without them, this wouldn't happen. But we don't need you on that dream team as much as you need to be on that dream team. To find your path, to find your place, to find your part in the body where you fit and where you can serve and where you can make a difference and where God can begin to use your life in a newfound way. By the way, let's hear it for that dream team. They're amazing, and I'm thankful for them. And it'll work even better with you. It really will. And there's lots of things still that we're dreaming of that we need your gifts and talents. By the way, Evan, thank you for being up here on the guitar this morning. That was awesome, bro. That was awesome. John 10, verses 3 through 5 says, "The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." How do you get to know God's voice? I think it's by spending time with him. More time you spend with him, the more easily you'll recognize his voice. I spend a lot of time with my wife. I love my wife. Where'd she go? She's all the way there in the back. I know her voice. Look at that. I can tell her voice all the way across the room. It's because I spend a lot of time with her. One time I went to Target one night, and I didn't realize my kids were at Target. And they had gone with somebody else, and we were at the same Target. And I'm walking through the aisles. I'm not thinking anything about, yeah, I don't even remember what I was in there for, but I'm focused on getting whatever that was. You know how guys are? We're just goal-oriented. We're going to go get that toothpaste and get out of here, whatever it was. And I'm walking through there, and all of a sudden, I hear a voice. What? That sounds like Eliza. And then I hear another voice. What? That sounds like Isaiah. So I start looking, and sure enough, here down the aisle comes my kids. And I recognize their voice above every other voice in that store because I spent time with them, and I know their voice. You spend time with the Lord, you'll begin to recognize his voice. Shepherds in Israel, it's very interesting. You know, sometimes there'll be two or three shepherds that'll have their flocks commingling on a hillside where there's the green, verdant grass. And you know, one shepherd will have 100-some sheep, another will have 100-some, and another will have 100-some. And they're all grazing there together. But when that shepherd gets ready to move to the next pasture, he'll make a call. My grandfather used to have a particular call. I grew up at his lake, and sometimes I'd be way across the lake, and he had a whistle. And let me tell you, when I heard that whistle, I knew it was time to come. And his whistle was unmistakable from any other whistle. I could be far away, but I could hear that. And boy, when I heard it, I turned and made my way back to where my grandfather was. That shepherd, when he gets ready to lead, even though his sheep have kind of intermingled with the other sheep, he'll go, "Woohoo!" Whatever his call is, I don't know what a sheep call sounds like. And all of a sudden, here comes his sheep from out among all those other sheep, and they follow him because they know his voice. When the next shepherd gets ready to go, he does some other, "Caw-caw!" How do you like that one, Doug? And here they come. I borrowed that one from Doug. That's a Doug call right there. Caw-caw, caw-caw. It didn't work real good for the Lambert's Throat Rolls, but I like the call anyway, Doug. We're sitting at Lambert's Throat Rolls, and Doug was trying to get a roll. Caw-caw, caw-caw. Every one of us at the table got one but him. I'm like, I don't know what's happening with that call. But anyway, the shepherd calls, and the sheep come. Only the sheep that know his voice. They don't mix. They listen. Spend time with him and recognize his voice. Number four, the shepherd supports. The shepherd supports. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17, powerful verse. "No one came to my support." This is the Apostle Paul. "But everyone deserted me. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." When there wasn't a human being around that Paul could draw even an ounce of support from. Sometimes you find yourself in places like that. Maybe not purposefully from other people, but you're just in a place where, quite honestly, God is your support. And he felt it. God was there and gave him strength. That's a cool verse to me. Paul knew the presence of Jesus. When you're in an emergency room, he's there. When you're in a courtroom, he's there. When you're going through a hard spot, he's there with you to support you. Number five, the shepherd defends. It says, "His rod and his staff comforts me." I got to be honest with you. Some of us grew up in churches where, quite honestly, the Word of God was used to kind of beat us over the head. And sometimes when we read something like this passage, that his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I was at a church one time, folks, and this is absolutely true. I walked into this old church, and this older pastor, and I actually had I was overseeing this pastor. And we're walking through the pews, and the front pew, there's a big long yardstick. And I said, what is that for? Why is there a yardstick right there at the front pew? And this old school pastor said, oh, it was for when the kids get out of hand. Just take that yardstick and whoosh. I'm like, whoa, I ain't going to church here. I know that. Wow. Sometimes there's been abuse in churches. Sometimes spiritual abuse. Sometimes just browbeating. Sometimes using the Word of God as a weapon. I want you to see what the Scripture actually is. No comfort in being hit over the head with something. Here's the picture. When the wolf comes, when the enemy comes, the shepherd is in between you and the enemy. And he's there with that rod to whack that wolf over the head, not the sheep. The rod and the staff is not to whack the sheep with. The rod and the staff is to protect the sheep. How many of you hear what I'm saying this morning? He defends me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He says, sit down and eat. I'm going to take care of it. I'm so thankful for men and women all over the world on the front lines of military bases and places all over this nation that while we eat and sleep, they're taking care of it. And this is what God is saying here too. The good shepherd, John 10:11, lays down his life for the sheep. Then number 6, the sheep blesses. It says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, folks, God doesn't withhold. He's a blesser. He loves to bless you. Hebrews 13:20-21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Did you notice there? He will equip you with every good thing. He's not holding back the good things. He loves to pour them out for you. What's our response today? I think there's only one response, and that's to know the shepherd. Know the shepherd of your soul. Know him personally. Get close to him. Spend extravagant time with him. Listen to his voice. Learn to hear that voice with clarity. Let him care for you and watch over you. Some of us, honestly, because of busyness or who knows what else, we've been sheep that have gone a little astray, and we need to come back to the shepherd. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, the ministry team to come up. Would you stand with me as we close today? I want to pray over us. Lord, I pray right now for anybody here in this room that has not made Jesus personally the shepherd of their lives and needs to. Right now, would you just pray with me right where you are? Just pray with me and say, dear God, I need you. I need you to be Lord of my life. I need you to be my shepherd. I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to come into my life and give me new life, that life to the full that you promised. And I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. If you prayed that with me, just hold a hand up. I just want to rejoice with you this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let somebody know. We want to walk with you and help you. And for the rest of us in the house, maybe you're going through a hard time, a difficult time. Jesus knows and he's there with you. Lord, I pray right now for every person going through any kind of struggle. You'd be their shepherd and you'd walk with them and you'd comfort them and help them. In Jesus' name.